The silence emanating from the occupied territories is deafening, and it speaks volumes. The man who has styled himself as the invincible king of the occupation is crumbling, not just politically, but physically. Reports flooding out of Tel Aviv confirm that Benjamin Netanyahu is reeling from a catastrophic health collapse, a diagnosis of prostate cancer that he desperately tried to hide from the world, fearing that even the perception of weakness would shatter his fragile grip on power.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has revealed he has been diagnosed with early-stage prostate cancer.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said he successfully underwent treatment for early-stage prostate cancer.
Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu saying a short time ago that he has undergone treatment for prostate cancer in his first public acknowledgement of that diagnosis.
For months, the occupation premier vanished from public view, skipping seven consecutive cabinet meetings, fueling firestorm rumors that he was either dead, critically injured in the failed adventures against Iran, or had been replaced by an eerie, glitching, AI-generated clone. The truth, finally extracted under public pressure, is far more damning. The man is deteriorating, using his failing body as a shield to run from accountability in his corruption trials, where bribery and fraud charges worth nearly $200,000 in luxury cigars and champagne hang over his head, and where the International Criminal Court at The Hague waits for its pound of flesh over the obliteration of Gaza. So welcome back to the program. If you are tired of the Western media whitewashing this butcher's crimes, if you want to support journalism that tells the truth about the occupation and its architects, do us a favor right now. Hit that like button, share this video with someone who needs to hear the facts, and drop a comment below, even just a dot. Or better yet, write Justice for Palestine to beat the algorithm censors. And if you haven't already, subscribe to this channel to stand with honest, fearless reporting. This is the story of Netanyahu's final act. A pathological liar caught between a hospital bed and a prison cell as the entire edifice of the occupation begins to tremble. Let's start with the physical wreckage of this man, because the narrative coming out of the occupation's propaganda machine is insulting to our intelligence. For months, Netanyahu hid his condition. It was only after relentless public pressure and legal demands that his annual medical report was ripped open for the world to see. According to hospital records, at 76 years old, the Prime Minister underwent surgery back on December 29th to treat a benign prostatic hyperplasia. But that wasn't the end of it. Routine follow-up MRIs revealed the monster hiding in the shadows, a lesion suspicious for cancer. The medical team at Hadassah confirmed it was an early-stage adenocarcinoma of the prostate, measuring 0.9 centimeters. Netanyahu quietly underwent a modern specialized radiation treatment roughly 2.5 months ago, but the staggering revelation is that he intentionally sat on this information. He sat on it during the height of his war crimes in Gaza and his military escalations against Iran. He claimed he hid the diagnosis to prevent the terrorist regime in Iran from spreading propaganda. What a convenient excuse for a control freak who cannot bear to be seen as anything less than a superhuman strongman. And while his doctors now claim the disease has disappeared, the man is still visibly emaciated, his skin pale and waxy. He uses every sniffle and cough to escape justice. Just last week, he begged the court to shorten his testimony in his corruption trial, whining that the pain is suffocating me due to a case of bronchitis. The Palestinian street responded with poetic fury, mocking him. May your inflammation do the job. They haven't forgotten. We haven't forgotten. But the cancer isn't just in his prostate. The cancer is in his soul, and it stems from the rot of his manufactured identity. Let's call him by his real name, because Netanyahu is a fraud, a branding exercise designed to sell a lie to the world. He is not a native son of the olive groves of Palestine. He is Benjamin Milikowski, born to a Polish father in Warsaw, a European colonial settler masquerading as a biblical Jew. The name Netanyahu translates to God-given, but it was a rebrand pulled off by his father, Benzion Milikowski, a radical revisionist Zionist who changed the family name to sever ties with their mundane Eastern European origins and project an image of ancient mythical belonging to a land where they had no ancestral deed. Even American far-right figures picked up on this hypocrisy. Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens have pointed out the Khazar theory, arguing that Ashkenazi Jews, like Netanyahu, are genetically descended from a Turkic minority rather than the 12 tribes of Israel, meaning this Polish man has no more claim to the occupied lands than a tourist. He ditched his Polish identity to steal Palestinian heritage, and then he had the audacity to stand in front of the United Nations peddling maps of a promised land that exists only in the fever dreams of colonialists. His obsession with erasing Palestine is so deep that he personally admitted, and it is on record, that he funneled suitcases full of Qatari cash to Hamas. Yes, Netanyahu bankrolled Hamas. He told his own party that propping up Hamas as a governing authority was a strategic masterstroke to divide and conquer the Palestinians, to ensure that they could never unify into a viable state. He sold out his own people's security to maintain his political career. The October 7th events happened on his watch. Many claim they were allowed to happen, or at least not disrupted, to manufacture the consent necessary to flatten Gaza into a parking lot to turn it into a real estate hotspot for new settlements. He needed a war to kill the peace process, and he got one. Speaking of justice, let's look at the legal noose tightening around his neck, which is currently his biggest source of panic. Isaac Herzog, the president of the occupation government, has refused to grant him a pardon. Think about that. Netanyahu begged Herzog to wipe his corruption cases clean. Cases 1,000, 2,000, and 4,000 involving bribery, fraud, and breach of trust. But Herzog has rebuffed him. Why? Because the Justice Ministry's pardon department has already ruled that Netanyahu's request does not meet the legal requirements unless he admits guilt and shows remorse. And Netanyahu, arrogant to the end, refuses to admit to anything, demanding a get-out-of-jail-free card while still screaming about witch hunts. Even with the United States president, the man in the White House personally pressuring Herzog, calling him weak and pathetic for stalling, the president has held the line. He knows that if the occupation is going to survive, the rot at the top might need to be thrown overboard to save the ship. If his political career collapses and he loses the immunity of the prime minister's office, Benjamin Netanyahu is going to jail. If he is convicted on the bribery charges, he faces actual prison time. And that's just the local courts. Over in The Hague, the International Criminal Court is circling like a vulture. The evidence of genocide in Gaza is overwhelming. The mass graves at Al-Shifa, the siege that starved children, the bombing of universities and refugee camps. The world wants this man in an orange jumpsuit, and he knows it. His frantic health crises are just a desperate attempt to stay in the safe confines of the Prime Minister's suite and out of the holding cell. As if the physical decay and the legal quicksand weren't enough, the political wolves are at the gate. The occupation is fractured, panicking, and desperate to bury Netanyahu before he drags the entire state down with him. In a dramatic press conference in the coastal city of Herzliya, former premiers Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid officially announced they are uniting their parties into a combined ticket called Together, led by Bennett. Bennett, the far-right settler, and Lapid, the secular centrist, are holding hands and pretending they like each other just to get rid of the man who has overstayed his welcome by decades. Bennett even made a grandiose speech declaring, "The era of division is over," calling this the most Zionist and patriotic act we have ever done. They've invited Gadi Eisenkot to join them, trying to consolidate the entire opposition bloc. Polls show Bennett's party tied with Likud at 24 seats each, and this new merger could give them the largest bloc in the Knesset. But don't be fooled by this cosmetic reshuffle. Go deeper. A change of government in Tel Aviv changes nothing. Bennett is a right-wing liberal Zionist who has already pledged he will never partner with Palestinian-led Arab parties, and he has made it clear that he will continue the siege policies. These are not peace activists. They are simply competing peddlers of the same occupation, the same military expansion, and the same denial of Palestinian rights. Bennett is a tech bro who supports shooting children on the border. Lapid is a celebrity who talks sweetly in English but supports the Iron Dome bombing neighborhoods for fun. The system is calibrated for war. Whether the puppet is Netanyahu or Bennett, the strings are pulled by the military-industrial complex, the settler movement, and the endless hunger for expansion. The fall of Netanyahu does not mean freedom for Gaza. It just means the occupation changes its mask. And what a bizarre mask it is. The rumors that Netanyahu died months ago and was replaced by an AI clone have spiraled so far out of control that it has become a massive political crisis for the regime. In March, deepfake videos circulated where Netanyahu's right hand appeared to have a sixth finger. In other clips, while sipping coffee to look casual, the coffee cup appeared to defy gravity, and in one bizarre segment, while he was gesturing, his wedding ring vanished midair right before our eyes. The public isn't stupid. They see the glitches, they notice he won't do live addresses, and they are starting to realize that the entire image of the occupation may be a projection of weakness. Even X's AI tool Grok looked at one of the coffee shop videos meant to dispel the death rumors and declared it was 100% a deepfake. Whether it's true or not doesn't even matter at this point. The fact that the world, from Iran to North Korea, is asking, "Is Bibi alive?" tells you everything about the crumbling credibility of this regime. So here we stand. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Polish usurper, the failed surgeon of state, the man who bankrolled his own enemy and got caught, is facing the endgame. His health is collapsing under the weight of his crimes. His Justice Department wants him in jail, his political rivals are sharpening their knives, and his body is betraying him. The failed war in Iran did nothing but expose the military limits of the occupation against a determined regional adversary. The Lebanese resistance and the Iranian military have shown that the days of uncontested aggression are over. For years, Netanyahu rode high on the myth of Mr. Security, but he leaves behind a trail of October 7th failures, a Gaza turned into rubble, and a political system that is eating itself alive. He wanted to carve out a greater Israel, but he's about to find his only remaining real estate is a hospital bed or perhaps a prison cell. Let them tear each other apart in the Knesset, let them panic. Because as the tyrant falls, the oppressed stand a little taller. Justice is slow, but it is coming. And for Benjamin Netanyahu, the end is closer than he thinks. We will continue to monitor every twist and turn of this collapse. Stay with us for the next update. Free Palestine.